everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you live on a Wednesday evening. Normally, this would be reserved for a date night with another couple in the industry. This was the closest thing I could find to that. I have my good friends, Chad and Stan. How are you guys?
Doing well, Marv. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Dreary day here in Florida. Pretty much rained all last night, all today. So no fantastic Florida weather to report. But you know what? Got to have these every now and then to have all the good stuff, right?
I guess you got to have the rain to appreciate the sunshine, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to go cliche.
So how are stuff in your neck of the woods?
That's all right. Actually, it's a rainy day here, too. I will confess, it's a rainy day, so I just took a nap, man. I'm waking up, you know, fresh out this nap, ready to talk to you folks here. Oh, so my. That's going to be fun. But, you know, seems like we're sharing that weather along the seaboard here. What do you got up there, Chad? What's up in
there? Yeah. Is it snowing there yet?
Poured all day. It's stopped now, though. It hasn't rained the last hour or two, but it was raining hard most of the day.
All right. It's not snowing up there yet, is it?
No, that's Alberta and Saskatchewan.
All right.
Matter of time.
Okay. All right. So for those of you that have never seen this show before, Podnuts Pro is a podcast for technicians, IT providers, repair shop owners, MSPs, anybody that supports business as a part of their computer profession. So some of us are solo techs. Some of us have big MSPs making millions and millions of dollars. For those of you that are not, hopefully this show will get you on the path to making more money. And normally I have on anybody from the industry that can help us, whether it's other technicians, business owners, vendors in our industry. These are two good friends of mine that I met. I met Chad in a very ominous way. Stan, I met through the ASCII group, referred to me by Chad. And I got to stay politically correct because
How's that van?
The van's holding up. Still rocking.
Good.
So Chad and I met. For those of you that don't know, I don't know if we've ever told this story in public, but you thought that you were going to squash me on a little show that our good friend Corey Fruitman had put together. And I forget the name of his show. What was that?
IT Jetpack.
IT.
And I'd like to point out that it was Corey's idea, the whole Battle Royale.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. So Corey was with us. We had attended a conference in Chicago. It was the CompTIA ChannelCon. And they had made a big effort to get more people involved. They have an MSP channel. And they were like, well, let's get some of the smaller fish in the pond to attend. So people like me who weren't really on the MSP radar, a bunch of us decided we'll go up and we'll be a part of the festivities there. And we were sitting in one of the sessions and we were listening to an MSP complain about how, you know, Charlie Shirttail or Ponytail or Trunk Slammer or whatever was just killing their business and how he was making, you know, 600 grand with 8 people or something like that. And I was like, wait a minute. I make half of that and I'm just one person. So something's not right. And so that's how I became the man in the van. And of course, Corey and I were chatting about that. And he's like, well, why don't we do a contrast and compare on man in the van versus the MSP? And that's how it started. And you researched the devil out of me, didn't you?
I did. I don't like to go into a battle empty handed. It was fun. It was fun though, wasn't it? Like it ended up being quite a fun show. I think I had a good time.
Yeah, I think I surprised all of you.
What did you learn, Chad? What did you learn?
I learned that just because you're a man that drives around in a van doesn't mean you're totally terrible. That was the abbreviated Cold Notes version.
Yep. Oh my goodness gracious! So guys, why don't we do this before we get deep into the stuff? Let me first ask, how is life going, and is there anything that has been great or bad in the last week that you'd like to tell us about?
Go for it, Stan.
All right. No, honestly, life has been great. There's no real complaints there. Thankfully, that's a good thing. You know, obviously, I think for us up over here, we would, you know, you guys in Florida where you are, you know, you guys don't care about any coronavirus or anything. So you guys just live freely. But up here in the north, you know, things are a little bit more controlled. But I will say that in all fairness, things have been pretty normal as far as I'm concerned, right? I mean, we're all in the same industry here. I tell people all the time, like, you know, our work has always been this hybrid of a remote and on site and, you know, that kind of interaction anyway. So in terms of that, you know, things are just kind of more of the same. So you asked one bad thing that might have happened this week. I'm trying to figure out what's a bad thing that happened this week.
It can be good. Doesn't have to be bad.
Oh, doesn't have to be bad. Okay. All right. Good. Well, that's even better then. You know, landed a good project actually for a local school district, being able to host their QuickBooks instance up in the cloud. And the reason why I think that's interesting is, I mean, this district has a whole IT department, right? So why do they need somebody on the outside to do this? But their internal people want nothing to do with it. So we're going to take care of that for them. So that's let's share that as a good thing, landing some government contract that I didn't know was an opportunity. And that's probably one of my – I don't do too much government work, so – but let's just throw that out there as being a good thing for this week.
All right. Chad, what about you?
Well, I'm not supposed to turn this into a therapy session, so I'll keep it light. Now, joking aside, things are progressing. I mean, we're focused on building the wall to keep out those crazy southern people, the people south of the border. You know, we're going to make them pay for it too. The corona situation up here is a lot different, I think, than even where Stan is. You know, it's created an interesting business market. We're very busy. I mean, I'm not complaining about that at all. But I kind of like the, you know, an industry that has so much change. I kind of like the lockstep we sort of find ourselves in, the cadence that you get, you know, planning budgets, planning future quarters with your clients and kind of having a forecast. And I pretty much had to tear all that up for this year. I get the strangest requests now out of nowhere. I have a client, this week, is planning on sending people home now.
Just now?
7 months into it. Yeah, like they've had a couple people working remotely, but they've been doing this whole staggered shift thing. And he basically, he got a lot of pushback from his staff, and he basically said, enough's enough. If everyone here comes down with it at the same time, we're screwed. So we're gonna, you know, half of you are working at home, and the other half are coming in. We can rotate, because none of his people want to work at home. They all want to work in the office. So, anyway, so I just sold a bunch of laptops to them. It's like sitting here in October. So one good thing, I guess, is that there's a government funded thing where they're basically trying to help the small businesses called Digital Main Street. And what they're trying to do is trying to get them some funding for, you know, a web presence, or those businesses that relied on all the foot traffic, and maybe not so much of that right now. We're the first approved vendor on the list to help with like cybersecurity and websites or whatever. So I'm hoping that turns into some business. It's essentially free money for the people doing it. So I don't know why it wouldn't turn into something. So,
all right. Nice.
Here he is bragging about all his government assistance and government programs and things that get guys, put into legislation up there.
Shut my toe. I'm going to the hospital, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
yeah. Probably won't even have to show identification, will you?
I'll just tell him it hurts.
That's right. And, oh, let's get a full workup. Get the mass spectrometer in here.
That's right. Yeah. What he's not telling you is it's going to take him 2 weeks to get in that door. But it's
listen. You've got to smile nice when you fill out the paperwork and say it really hurts. They prioritize by how really it hurts.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I guess if there's no blood showing, right, you got to just work it as hard as you can.
To be fair, I mean, true story, I had a family member that was sitting in the ER the one night, and they were next to go, and there's a racetrack by me, and they basically started carting people in from, like, a really bad, like, pile-up crash. And basically it was like, yeah, no, buckle up. You're going to be here for a while, because the guy with the, you know, brains hanging out of his head, he's going first kind of thing. Which I think is probably a good thing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, they probably
pack of cash and say,
probably should get priority in that case.
You know, it just seems like a nice thing to do.
Well, that makes me want to hijack this real quick, right? So, I mean, that's one of those questions that you feel like prospects give you when you're telling them how, you know, being under contract is a benefit to them and, hey, how you're going to get priority service over other people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I've heard this question more often than not. And I'm going to kick it out to you folks is, you know, how often, you know, how do you prioritize between the clients who are under contract, right? You know, what makes my emergency or my situation more important than yours, if at all?
Well, before we answer, Stan, do you have a process in which you make that decision, or are you asking us
first?
I just signed it to a tech.
But yeah. We know how that's working out for you. I'll tell you my process, right? No, which is simple. And I always tell people this. I say, if the house is burning down, I am going to that person first, right? And like you just said, the guts hanging out of the, you know, the brain matter hanging out of the head, right? You know, the intestines hanging out, you know, we're going there first. And most people, when you give them that answer, they're pretty satisfied, right? Because it also makes them feel that and let them know that if they're in that situation, you're willing to even leave a contract client to go handle, you know, that life or death emergency, essentially.
We also have, you know, all kinds of peers. Like, I mean, I got you guys and I got a whole bunch of other ASCII people and people I've met in other peer groups and other industries. If it's truly an emergency, if we truly had six houses on fire, so to speak, and, you know, we've got hundreds of people that can't work at multiple businesses, I get on the phone and call one of you guys and one of you guys will help me out. Like, you know, that's just that. And I tell prospects that I'm like, we have, because one of the things we've been doing is we've been chasing international deals. And one of the problems we run into is they're like, well, can you help us? Like, can you get there? And I'm like, absolutely. And we're in five countries now. And I'm like, I got people everywhere. And hey, Scully, see guys like Scully there, like, you know, he knows people too. I could call him and be like, hey, I need somebody, you know, in the middle of nowhere, such and such. And he'd tell me who to call. So I can get people on the ground anywhere. And that helps bigly with prospects.
Yeah, it does. And I'll say that, Stan, this was one of those questions that Chad asked me as part of that IT jetpack as if you have customers crying, who do you take care of first? And can you handle, you know, a multi-crash situation? And my answer is I let FPL help me in that scenario. So being in Florida, everybody understands that if a hurricane comes and hits everybody, okay, somebody's got to be first, somebody's got to be last. And the process we use is whatever situation can affect the most people gets the first response, which is what FPL does. You know, that's what they say is we're going to go and fix the things that could affect the most people. So first of all, you know, if you're under contract and you're a large client and you've got seven offices that can't work, okay, we'll come take care of you. If there's only two of you and you can't work, you may have to wait a little bit. Yeah. But if you're under contract and somebody else is not, then you'll be before them. Now, I think the bigger thing is, I don't know if you're asking this part of the question, Stan, but one of the things I think that helped me and probably frustrated some other people is that for all practical purposes, I'm a solo tech. Even though I've got staff here, I've got my wife that helps me in the office. I've got people that come in and help me. And I have people that I can reach out to. I've got about five subcontractors that I can call. So if I need to scale, I can. And I think that's really what people want to hear is, as long as you're not going to make me wait a week, you know.
The thing is too, like if you've got processes, and I'll admit it's a little easier for me with, you know, Marvin, you got staff and you got your wife and stuff like that. If you were truly knee deep in a pile of, you know what, you know, and you had another emergency, you know, you're with your first biggest client, your second biggest client is on fire and you're worried they're going to, like, you know, start getting out the phone book over this. You know, you could have your wife give us a call or give whoever a call, and, you know, you got documentation. We can at least get the situation under control.
Oh yeah. I've at least got somebody that can get on the phone with them. I do have other techs in the area that, you know, if I have to send over, even if it's just somebody that I can talk through a process over the phone, I can physically get somebody there within a couple of hours. Now, we actually have a question in the chat here from Mr. Scully. Does SLAs make a difference in who you fix first? I know that a lot of MSPs will put together an SLA. I don't. And I just say everything we do is best effort. And
yeah, so we have service level objectives is what we're operating under. So we have a priority list. But the problem with SLAs, in my opinion, are if you're going to truly go down that path, and I have some great friends that are doing this, you have to be prepared to dish out financial compensation when you breach them. And I don't know that it's really, it just doesn't seem worth it with what we're doing. I would sooner just eat it on the back end and, you know, call Stan and have him fix it or whoever. I keep bringing this up, but to me, this is a really critical difference because if you're a one man guy or a two man show or whatever, I mean, you have physical limits. There's only so much you can do. You get sick too. I mean, like, you know, that other thing going around right now could put you down for a while. And, you know, on the flip side, when you're competing against bigger firms, you know, that are coming in, I'm not even talking really specialized firms, just bigger in terms of people. That's what they're going to play. They're going to say that if you call them, you're going to get a live answer. The live answer is going to help you right away. You know, escalations are available. And to play against that game, it's really simple. Yeah, we can do the same thing. We already have our network built. Not like we're getting out the phone book and calling weird people. You know, if I called, you know, Scully and asked him for a reference, he's not going to refer me to some guy he met once at a trade show. He's going to send me to, you know, one of his partners that he trusts. You know, I can do the same thing with, you know, Rob Ray from Datto, or, you know, like the list goes on, right? That's if I don't have anybody in any of my peer groups in some really weird location that I just can't get somebody to, you know? But I mean, if you see the guys in ASCII, I've seen them volunteer to drive 2-3 hours to a client if you need something bad enough, you know?
Yep.
So you can't underestimate the value of that.
All right. So yeah. Go ahead, Stan.
I was going to jump in on the SLA side. So I'm kind of obviously with Uncle Marv, because at the end of the day, SLA or not, if I don't respond appropriately to a client and they don't feel that they're getting that level of service, then guess what, right? You know, they're going to walk anyway. But I just want to circle back. You know, there are businesses that require SLAs with you. And if they want to impose that, then obviously we have those discussions. And of course, pricing is affected, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in any MSP's best interest to just automatically go and create some crazy SLA, situation about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Because I think at the end of the day, I don't care if your SLA says your repair time is 8 hours. You know, if they felt that the issue should have been resolved in 2, they don't give a damn what your SLA says. So, you know, that's more of a, I think, an industry stuff. I mean, does anybody here remember having internet providers with SLAs and then trying to collect? It's like, okay, so when did it start? Was it when we made the first help ticket, or was it when you guys had somebody come out to our site? I mean, there's so much gray area.
Right.
In that.
That's always.
Say, well, our tech started working on it, so therefore, you know, we met our SLA, right? So I just think that's an industry thing, right? That's what we want. That's something that we've created. But I like to go with the Verizon and Comcast methodology, right? Or cable companies. Hey, man, they're going to fix your internet when they're going to fix it. Now, if they take too long and they suck at it, you're probably going to be looking for a new provider. But, you know,
we have SLAs on our circuit. You can get SLAs on your enterprise circuits. And it's the same thing with like a high-end contract, like you were saying. We have a 4-hour SLA on our.
You can, but it still happens with what fiber all the time. Everybody talks about, you know, a 4-hour SLA, but if somebody cuts a fiber line, you know, a mile down the road,
then
that
you're
SLA
going back at them for financial compensation. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like if you're charging $2,000 a month and you take them down for, you breach it by 4 hours, if your penalty, it's not really like they almost feel insulted when you tell them they're getting a, you know, $11 credit or whatever it is. I had a client that fought Bell Canada over a T1 SLA breach one time, and I kid you not, they gave him like 73 cents or something like that. It was on a T1, and it was like so many hours, but it was – anyway, they were more angry after they got the credit than they were before they reached out.
Well, but that's the thing. That's what I'm saying, right? That's why I believe that it's just really it's more of a marketing tool than anything, because you're trying to tell somebody, look what we got. But if you're spending $400 a month on a circuit and they credit you for your downtime, you were down for, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours, right? In the great scheme of things, it doesn't look that great. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, let me throw this scenario at you. It's not entirely SLA, but this is what I just went through. So one of my large law firms was basically upset, and they've been upset for years. Let's not think it's not, this isn't the first time, but you know, lawyers, you know, get upset at everything. So they wanted basically to know that they could have somebody answer the phone before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. if needed. And I told them, I said, well, when we've had situations come up in the past, server down or somebody can't, have I not, you know, responded in a reasonable amount of time? Because the worst case scenario that I can remember is that it took me 1 hour to get back in touch with them on a Sunday. And they were like, yeah, but you know, if somebody can't get in at 7 a.m, I don't want to have to call you at 7 and wait until 8. And so I said, okay, I can provide you another company to assist me. That would be my after hour support, and they would answer the phone and they would attempt to help you. And if they couldn't, they would escalate to me. So at least you'd have a first line of support with a level one tech. You know, they're not going to be able to, you know, do everything. They're not going to get into the firewall and, you know, do any rules or whatever. And this customer, I told him it's going to cost you an extra $10 per person at your firm. And they're like, that's too much money. We shouldn't have to pay extra for that. So they went and looked for another company, another local provider, to give them 24/7 support. And so now that company came back at $40 per person to give them the support.
The thing is that, you know, so we're at 8 people right now, and I've looked at putting somebody on a night shift, like, so they, you know, for some crossover for exactly that reason. But every time I thought about it, it's a dumb idea, because who am I going to put? Am I going to put my best guy on the night shift, and then I don't have him available for escalations during the day when everyone's actually working? Or am I going to put my worst guy on the night shift who can't actually resolve anything? He can just ask people for help. Like, it's not quite that bad, but you know what I mean? And that's what I tell the customers. I'm like, look, I'm like, what do you want? I'm like, do you really want someone just to answer the phone and make a ticket for you? Will that make you feel better? Because if that's the case, email our ticketing system and it'll reply. You get a nice reply, very friendly, every time, very consistent, instant. And tells you that somebody is working on this and they will get back to you as soon as possible. So I think that's important.
So we live in the same space, but some different spaces. So first off, all clients know that they essentially have theoretically 24/7 access. Humans always pick up the phone here, 24/7, holidays, whatever, 365. And then there's a pertinent question that gets asked when it's after hours. Are you willing to pay after hours rates? Mm-hmm. And if the answer to that question is yes, when we get the email that says this person called, here's their phone number, approve overtime, yes, they get a call back, or their issue gets resolved without even calling them back, and then they know, right? So there's always a live human answering the phone from that perspective for me. Just within that window of 5 p.m. to 9 a.m., the set of questions gets asked differently. And like I said, if that person wants to, guess what? We do what they need to do, and then they're going to pay for it. It's just that simple. So contract clients, it's already in their contract, so they already know. So there's no real further discussion that happens. But, you know, to your point of your clients upset that you take an hour to get to them, even though you're doing what I'm saying, right? Except they're like, oh, you take too long. Like, listen, we could take too long during normal business hours. Like, we just, you know, you get like we talked about earlier, you get triage in the list of fixing your problem, you know? So it doesn't mean that, you know, what it's totally different if you want someone to be 24/7 available and 24/7 sitting in front of your computer ready to solve a problem at any given moment. And if they're not willing to pay $10 a user per month for that, then, you know, this is a non-starter, right? Why are we even having this conversation?
If we respond outside of business hours, anything out of business hours is 2x normal rate, 2-hour minimum. If it's a 5-minute fix or if it's, you know, 2-hour fix. And yeah, Scully's got it right. If anyone who's seen my business card, which are very rare, most people haven't seen them, but if they have, there's no cell number on it. You can't call me directly. The thing is that I have a lot of clients who will say it's an emergency, but then they don't want to pay for that, so I just won't call them. Right. I mean, I know who they are. I know them.
well, and that's where I have the buffer of, you know, our service that handles our calls, because there's no, oh, well, Stan, I got you on the phone, let me just ask you this 30-second question, right?
No, they come
through. You're able to bypass that, and it's like the greatest thing in the world.
Voicemails go to tickets. So it says leave a message. It says, if this is an emergency, you know, emergency rates will apply, leave the message and somebody will hear it. They leave a message and then I listen to it, like, or I read it on my phone. And then most of the time I go, No,
but what I'm saying to you is it's very different when you actually have someone on the phone and then someone says to them, do you approve overtime rates? And if they say yes, there's no more conversation needed when I call and interact with them, right? I just call and go to work. Versus, no, he can call me at 9 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah. No, I like your way. Your way is solid. And my way just doesn't require me to pay for a virtual receptionist.
Yeah. Well, we know how you go. So, but I just want to throw this out there because we're talking about this and you mentioned cell phones. Same thing here, right? You know, cell phones not on anything. I had a break fix client that we went in. You got to listen to this story. This guy had high speed internet originally, never did work for this guy before. He finds us through some channel. We go out there. He goes, oh, well, Verizon came and set us up with their internet. So in my head, Verizon, I automatically think Verizon Fios, right? Because that's just what we sell. So I go in and I'm like, I look under this desk. I flat out bust out laughing. You know, the guy's looking at me like, what's going on? It was a DSL modem, okay? Now the reason why that's relevant is he had cable that was giving him like 200 over 200. Now he's got a DSL circuit. I had him do a speed test, right? It was giving 1.5 megs. And I said, you let them sell you this? He goes, well, they told me it would be comparable to what I had. And I said, but I had him pull out his cell phone. I said, go to this website. We did a speed test on his cell phone. He was getting 50, 60 megs on his cell phone. I said, look at your cell phone speed in comparison to your computer. So luckily he didn't disconnect the cable, set him back, right? Hooked up his cable internet back up. I said, hey, cancel this line for this circuit from Verizon, you know, bump out of that, go back to what you had pretty much. And then, you know, when he was paying, he goes, what's your cell phone number? I said, I don't hand that out. The number you have, you will be able to reach me whenever, et cetera. He goes, well, I just want you to know that since you don't want to give me your cell phone number, if I call and I can't reach you, I will call the next person. And I said, and go for it. Do what you got to do. You are under no obligation to use me. I'm under no obligation to service you. I said, if you feel that I'm not responding to you quick enough and you want to go to somebody else, that's fine. If you would like better service, you can go under contract. This is how much that will cost. I'll let you make that decision.
Yeah, I never let somebody tell me that if they can't reach me, they'll go somewhere else. It's go right ahead. But nobody, and I tell them, my family doesn't get my cell phone number.
Yeah, I mean, even I don't have your cell phone number, and I'm still pissed about that. But
I have it.
You think you have it.
There's like five bat lines, guys. You guys,
you think you have it. I thought I had it too, and then the number was disconnected
We were texting when he was in Toronto. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere. Now that said, I probably didn't bother adding it to my contacts, so it's probably a random number where if I check the message, it's like.
Here. Oh, that was part of my disposable lines.
Hey, listen, you got the burners?
I have the burners. Yes, I did.
You got.
I had a customer.
Guys, I think I really think it's so funny because, you know, and I know we have these conversations. Look, there's two solo people here, right? I mean, technically me and Marv. And then there's Chad, who has a bigger team. I think it's extremely interesting from the standpoint of threats, right? And you know, I see this on groups, right? In groups, I hear about it at trade shows, right? People are always talking about, you know, clients making threats in some regard or asking questions and how do they respond? And, you know, my response has always been I don't care if it's like, I need you, you're the last client like that I have. Like, I've never been of the mindset that you allow anyone to see you sweat or you let anybody know that you need them more than they need you, in the sense of I'm willing to give up the farm to service you, right, or to keep your account. Because as far as I'm concerned, like the phrase goes, the way you set your sails determines your course. So what ends up happening is that ends up just being a situation that just, you know, once you allow that wiggle room, it just keeps happening. You know, they just keep chipping away.
You know, I'll tell you guys something kind of funny, real quick story. I have this client where they're very small, less than 10 users, and they were on our like monitoring plan years ago, and they left our monitoring plan to go. It doesn't really matter. They continued dealing with us for print. And so they print a lot, like they buy about $30,000, $35,000 a year in consumables. And for a team of less than 10, I think it's quite a bit. Anyway, and I like selling the consumables and I like doing the printers. So recently, when my one tech was there working on their printer, he ended up making a recommendation to put a FortiGate in because they were complaining about their internet going out. So basically he said, hey, grab this other connection, we'll do an SD-WAN. They're rural, so they actually have two wireless connections now, but it works great. They're super happy. So then out of the blue, they called and said that by us putting in the FortiGate, we made their other IT guy mad. And I was like, they were like, no one's going to tell me who I can and can't deal with. So we want you guys to, we would like to go with you guys. Do you guys offer that service? They forgot. They were on our monitoring plan years ago. They completely forgot, but they're back on again and we're happy to have them. Like I said, they were a client the whole time. It's just, I thought, again, at that size, I'm not out there, you know, we're not doing QBRs with clients like this. We're not like, it's just, you know, we offer the monitor patch AV at the low end, a slight discounted rate on service. And they've been a great client on print though. We've replaced their printers a couple times over the years. They do, like I said, I don't know, 100,000 pages a year per printer, copier, and great customer. Love working with them. Always pay their bill. That's my favorite kind of customer. Mm. Can I answer Scully's question there?
I was waiting to go back to there. So which one? Do you give them the vendor tech support number?
That one. I wanted to address that one because I had a really good answer for that.
Well, I wanted to switch that because I wanted to ask you guys, and let me ask it in a little different way. So if a customer, because I think all of us do the same thing. We all sell them, you know, the hardware. We'll sell servers, desktops, you know, phones or whatever. And of course, their issue always is, well, if you can't fix it, can we call somebody else? And my question is, yeah, you can call the manufacturer. I sell you an HP server. If I can't fix it, the person you would call next is HP. If there's a Microsoft issue, you call Microsoft. So they have those tech support numbers because in my estimation, 99% of the time, the customers I serve, I can solve their problems, and there's very rarely a problem that they'll have to go to another tech to get that answer to. Now there are situations that I know if I can't help them, I'm not even going to suggest that I support them. So let's not, you know, I'm not trying to say that I know every single thing. I know what I know. That's what I support. But if there's a problem with an HP server, calling in another company really is not going to be the way to go. Call HP, and they have support for that reason.
So I didn't take a page out of Stan's book on this one, and it's all about what the contract says. So when we fully manage a client, there's expectations that if it's an all-you-can-eat contract, no one else touches it. Otherwise, we're not covering it, which therefore, you know, invalidates it. Where one problem we actually lost out on about 2,500 seats of Office 365 because Microsoft changed the program. It was always written this way, but they're now enforcing it. You can't have your customer call Microsoft. You have to do the level one issue. And then if you're a tier two CSP, you have to escalate through like PAX 8.
I was going to say, is that CSP only or is that all?
CSP only. CSP only.
Okay.
So the problem is that like, you know, I have some enterprise customers, but that won't fly. Like they need to be able to call and get a support escalation. So I just can't sell them the seats, which is fine. But what I wanted to address with that was Datto. I think I should say everybody, you guys know that we're big on Datto. And one of the ways we engage enterprise clients with Datto is we go in and position it as such that, our hours are 8:30 to 5:30 Monday to Friday. During those hours, we got your back. But outside of those hours, if you have a 3 a.m. emergency and one of your critical servers goes offline, you can call Datto directly. They'll get the red team on the line, and they'll walk through it with you. And I've had a couple clients where they've actually had to do that, and they're now, like, for life. Like they were, you know. And I didn't have to get out of bed, nor did any of my techs have to get paid crazy overtime. They just took care of it. So that was the initial intent in the agreement, though. The agreement was that they get access to their thing and they can call it in. If the agreement was they have a magical box that does magical things and we take care of everything, then no, then they wouldn't. So however the agreement was from the beginning.
So for me, there's two ways. So I actually have, I don't get involved in too many situations where we're not handling everything, right? It's just that simple. That's not really what I go after. I don't really go into situations where I need to augment the staff, but I do have a situation where a client has an internal person that does do some IT stuff, some low level, right? You know, printer issues. You know, they don't even set up user accounts, but they do some low level stuff. And I think you got to give wiggle room to allow that, right? Because it's a direct employee of the company. It's not somebody on the outside. With that said, my contract that I, of course, I had to pull it up while we're having this conversation, does have a great line in it, which I think addresses third parties in general. And be sure to jot this down, Matt. You might want this, which is the client agrees that under this agreement, they're entitled to any and all passwords to any and all of their systems, but will not share those passwords with any third parties other than the MSP. If the client shares any passwords for any systems or resources to a third party, any and all work performed under this agreement will be billable events to the client until that situation is fully remedied, right? So that addresses third parties, which I'm going to include vendors in that. But we handle the vendor, right? I call HP up. I call Dell up. I mean, that's all part of my value, you know? Hey, my laptop's not working. You know, we look at it. If it's a hardware issue, we call up HP. You know, we get the schedule. Hey, the tech's going to be out there tomorrow. I had a user the other day that had a battery and a fan issue. And like I said, they don't get charged for it. It's covered under agreement. It's a covered device. We picked up the phone, made the call, and hey, the technician's going to be there tomorrow. You know, I know you're there 9 to 5. I told them you're the contact person. I mean, there's no interaction. I mean, that's, like I said, once again, that's the value. But if the client wanted to call HP, fine. Like Marv said, go ahead. You have the phone number. Do what you need to do. But I'll tell you this. I mean, aside from Chad and his Datto situation, I mean, none of the vendors that we're dealing with, in that, except for Datto or, you know, actually except for Datto really, would fix something right away, right? So HP is still like, hey, we got a next business day response time or whatever the case is. But if you have to, then that's not an issue. But what I think you really want to do is really protect yourself from, you know, unauthorized third parties that you kind of don't know about going into your client environment and then, potentially mucking something up. So put that line in there, man. You'll thank me later.
Right.
I was going to say Fortinet's the other one we run into where we go in, do an enterprise Fortinet install, FortiGate, FortiSwitch, FortiAPs, and then they require access to it. What we do is we just back up the config and we keep it on our system so that when they break it, we just go and restore it. It's a lot faster. And then we build the same amount, you know, as opposed to rebuilding it manually. Cause it seems to happen. I would say not every time, but if every 10 we sell, 2 or 3 times, we probably have to go back cause they literally just break the routing rules and
Yeah, but your difference is there, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, those aren't managed MSP clients. Those are people you sold a device to that had you configure. So in my opinion, those are just project / break fix, right?
There's 3 types of them, right? There's what you just said, totally, you know, break fix. There's then co-managed IT where we're in there, but they still have IT staff and they require access to their own stuff kind of thing. Or like it depends. Again, it depends on the agreement. We could say it's a managed firewall and no, but sometimes not. And then the third one is we do a lot of Fortinet stuff for other MSPs. So it's actually their clients. And then whatever their rules are, you know, I don't tell people, you know, you could do whatever you want. You want to give your clients access? Great. You don't. Totally cool.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess, but I do want to say this. I mean, I wanted to, you know, and the way I crafted that language is, you know, I don't ever, and Marv, I know you have the break glass just in case thing, right? The emergency parachute. Like, I don't ever want clients to feel like they're not in control of what they actually own, right? You know, we all hear it. You know, do we keep the passwords from them? No. So I kind of want to put the language for it. Like I said, you have somebody that works for you internally or the owner of the company who wants to go in and muck around. Like, you know, I give you that leeway to a certain extent, but at the same time, the minute you allow some third party that I don't know about, you know, and by the way, this kind of covers everybody here in the event of your clients asking for passwords because they got some new MSP coming who's going to do some audit and then try to quote them, right? That kind of covers all that in the same vein.
Right. So a couple of different scenarios. You both have mentioned the idea of having your contracts, you know, with the proper wording. And, you know, I've had Bradley Gross go over a lot of my stuff recently, even to the point where I just had a client who is not under an agreement, even though we treat them like they are because they've been with us for so long. They wanted to have somebody come in other than a junior because they used to have a junior on site. And we actually created, and we created a special liability waiver for that particular situation where they wanted to have access to certain stuff. The firm administrator who basically wants to be a tech and thinks that he should be able to set up users and work on computers and do all that stuff. And I'm like, fine, but here's the waiver that you realize that if you mess something up and we have to come in and fix it, it's billable regardless of whether it was a covered machine or not. Because at that point, you touching something, you know, overrides whatever management that we do. And they were talking about, and I put this in there because I get the sense that you might be doing some other research, talking to some other people, because they wanted to have a security assessment done. But instead of having a real security company come in to do it, they found an MSP who said, oh, we can do that for you. And it was basically just a network assessment. And I'm like, okay, that's not a real cybersecurity assessment. You just got some other tech who wants to come in and run, you know, something, one of those, the tools rapid like fire rapid tools fire and stuff like that. I'm like, I can do that, but that's not going to, you know, make you pass the cybersecurity test. So we made them sign that waiver so that if anything happens, regardless of who does it, if it's not me or somebody that I send and you break something and we got to come fix it, billable.
It's intent. And this is the thing, like, we won't do a fully managed agreement with a customer like that. They're going to go on like a patch monitor AV co-managed agreement where from the start, the roles and responsibilities are set up. Who creates users? Who manages this? Who manages that? All laid out. And then no one's upset. You know, like, we have a client where we just, you know, they had a domain that was provided by their, it's an auto dealership. So the manufacturer had a domain in there, and we had an opportunity to get rid of that and put in their own. We put it in. They have an on-site guy. His title's network administrator, or whatever. He's a great guy. He's not like a what you guys would call a tech, but he's all right. And no, he doesn't Wait, touch the
he's
the
not what we would call it. Like, is he not a network administrator or is he not a junior?
No, he's neither. Like, his job is completely separate from any of this. He's just the guy that kind of like started fixing computers, and now he like is the guy there.
Okay. So
when we do new computers, like, you know, we do like a prep on them and then drop them off. And if it's a what we find is if it's an unimportant user, he'll take care of the whole thing. But anytime any of the executives are involved, we come in and do it because he doesn't want the liability.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
But again, we have a clear separation of duties. It's, you know, we had another customer that I fired, and I think I told you about them a couple of years ago, Marvin. These guys, I fired them because they hired somebody who was not an IT person, but they called them an IT manager. And I was like, yeah, we don't work with this. So like, yo, goodbye. I didn't quite say it like that, right? But basically, what ended up happening was we ended up turning the whole thing around, and we got we manage XYZ, we manage the network basically, and they manage the PCs, but we have our software on there, and we share our software. It's co-managed, so she can log into LabTech and do whatever she wants really on her site, obviously, and that's cool. That's cool, and basically they pay we don't include any labor in their agreement. The only labor that's included is if there's a problem resulting from a patch. Outside of that, billable. And to be honest, she doesn't call much. Like they're happy. It turned around. It was really amazing because, like I said, I literally fired them, and then they were like, "Whoa, that's not what we wanted." So,
all right.
And as far as the end user thing, again, at the beginning, we set everything up. So with Datto, we give all of our IT clients, like the IT staff, we give them accounts on their devices. We have lots of clients with multiple devices, and then they can also get access to the training portal and everything like that. It works pretty well.
All right. All right, let's do a quick switch here, and let's talk about our good, friendly MSP company, Datto. So, any of you got your Datto stock today?
No, I'm good.
I did not, but that's because I have a lot of things going on in my personal life right now. I'm being very selective on the investment side.
All right. So they went public. And first, let me ask you guys this. What do you think of them using the ticker name MSP?
Oh, is that the ticker?
Yep, that's the ticker.
I thought it was funny. You know, ruffled some feathers, but they have one of the most comprehensive solution sets in the whole channel. They have a PSA, an RMM,
yep.
A backup solution, cloud backup, cloud storage, file sync and share.
Well,
networking.
Kudos to them for doing it first. I mean, it's not like it was privileged to anybody. So, yeah. All right.
So, I didn't realize today was the day. I mean, I got the email. I didn't pay attention. I mean, look, what's the range? So today, well, I think our buy-in was able to be at what, 27? 27, right?
Yeah.
So it closed at 27.10. You hit 32.36. So somebody made some money today, right? I don't see what the volume is right now, but I mean, I'm just peeping. Look, I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't personally believe that enough people know what they do. Look, I hate to say this, but we could all make our companies public if we wanted to, but I don't know what the long term is going to be. I mean, 15 million shares exchanged? Is that? Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. That was the volume for today. So I don't know. I think,
we don't have the market cap to go public. I mean,
it's not even about having, look, I mean, what I'm just saying is, let me tell you something. Datto can't get their billing right. Okay. I mean, I hear people were complaining about billing and all these other things. I'm just going to just put it out there. I use the product, right? I mean, I'm logged into my Datto portal right now, checking some stuff on the SaaS side, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I think this is a way for certain people to be able to cash out, and that's what they want to do. And that's fine with me. But, I think Datto has plenty of internal things to fix, such as, the ongoing complaints that Chad keeps denying, that plenty of MSPs have with their support team. So if, remember that whole thing we talked about, like, hey, we want, remember what we're talking about, how we want like a live human on the phone, but we don't just want a live human on the phone, right? Just like our clients. So we want a live human on the phone who's going to solve our problem. Right. Well, so when you're just directing me to a KB article all the time,
right.
You know, that starts to change the taste buds in my mouth. And what I'm saying is if I thought it was just me and I was just this lone wolf, but as I see in the community, plenty of people are complaining about that. And Chad, you can have your partner, your higher level. But what I keep telling people, and this applies for all of us as well, right? You can't try to tell me that I need to spend more money with you to get support. That you can't do that.
Well, you're spending more money anyway because the price of storage keeps going up. So we're already paying more.
Yeah, and remember, and I've said this before, Datto positions itself as the premier product. Right. Okay? That's okay. And I'm okay with premier pricing. You just got to give me what comes along.
You got to give me premier service to match the pricing.
So, I've had plenty of service issues. And I'm that kind of guy, like I've told people have heard me make noise. I know plenty of folks over there. But I don't like to call anybody, right? I don't want to call in for support. So when I do call in, this is like a real issue and it's something I need resolved. Okay. Look, I remember working with another MSP that sells way more than me and way more than you, Chad, right? And they were still having issues it took support 3 weeks to resolve something. It's very hard for me to go to a client who's paying me for service and then tell them like, well, the vendor that I used took 3 weeks to resolve this issue, so you haven't had backups in 3 weeks.
No, see, that's it. But I don't know. See, I have a couple issues. Like, I know what your issue is, Stan, and I know you're bitter. And you also know, like, you know, the first time that was an issue, you could have messaged me and I could have helped you out with that, but you don't want to be like that.
Well, this is my thing. I don't think that anybody who pays somebody for a service should have to go, like, through people they know to get things done. I believe that if you're going to charge me this, then anybody, I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's the guy with a single Alto 3, if he's paying your higher rates or whatever compared to Veeam and some of these other folks, that they should get the service that they're paying for. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you, but out of all the other vendors I deal with, I have to do the same damn thing, except I get better results doing it at Datto. So I can't think of any vendor where I get, you know, like, look at Fortinet's a good example. At Fortinet, if you want to get special treatment, you need to have an NSC 7 on staff. What's funny about that is that because you have an NSC 7 on staff, your company doesn't get the support. Only the NSC 7 does. So if your NSC 7 leaves, too bad. At our company, if I don't have I have one NSC 7. If he doesn't open the ticket, then we don't fast track to level 2. It's just like anybody else.
So here's my question, Chad. Yep. So you said to get special service. I think what Stan is saying and what I'm going to be saying is I'm not looking for special service. I'm just looking for regular service.
Yeah, so no, but I know. No. See, but that's the problem. See, Stan is a smart guy, and Stan actually knows what he's talking about. But the number of people who call in with very basic issues dictates the need for all those level one people. And what Stan wants is he wants to call in and say, hey, I'm not a dum-dum. Please send me to level two. That's what you really want. I mean, I get what you're saying, but that's what you want. And what I'm saying is with Fortinet, that's what happens. You skip level one and go to level two.
Well, but if it's – well, okay, so if it's – I mean, because I call in and there are certain things that – look, level ones can help me, and if they can, that's fine. But if I already know that I've been to the KB articles – and tried
don't
them.
Don't direct me there.
You know, don't just, yeah, don't redirect me. Listen to me when I tell you I've already tried this. Can you move me along to the next step?
I'll give you an HP example, right? Yes. I'm an HP partner. Marv, I think you are too.
Yes.
I call HP. The minute I say I'm a partner, the person who might be, I hate to sound like this, but the person who might be sitting in India or somewhere else overseas says, hold on a second. They redirect me to like Texas to the HP business support line. Okay. And that person always does what we need them to do. So when I call Datto and I say, hey, look, I have this particular issue. I did A, B, C, D, and E. At that point, to Marvin's point, level one should go, I'm not dealing with someone who's an idiot. It seems like they've tried the things that I will tell them to try. Let me kick it up to the next level. See, that level one person is also supposed to be kind of receptionist and filterer, right? And they go, okay, this person didn't do these things. Let me kind of walk them through it. And then but now I've had the issue, and Chad, you've heard, where these people have told me to do things that are not the solution or that have created bigger problems. And people are like, who told you to do that? Well, why don't you go look in the ticket 3 days ago where your level one technician told me to do this? And I did what he told me to do, and now we have a bigger problem because I listened to your support. That's a problem.
That is a big problem, but what I usually do, so, okay, if you didn't have, before we had a blue guy, what you would do, and if you didn't know me and whatever else, you basically can email the escalations dot, I can get the email address if anyone cares, but you can email that with a ticket number and say, hey, Jimmy here is doing some weird stuff. Get me somebody else, somebody better. You don't want that, but I'm saying that you've got to treat that level one.
I understand. No, but okay, but where are we at? See, and this is where I love arguing with you about this, right? Chad, at the end of the day, you're telling me to do more work. I don't want to do more work. I want the vendor to do work on my behalf. That's why I'm paying you a premium. If I want to do work, then why don't I go into Azure or somewhere else, launch my own backup solution like some people do, right? Some people use these other applications. And then guess what? I don't have to rely on anybody, but I'm willing to pay extra to not have to do that. But you're telling me it doesn't matter what I'm paying. I'm supposed to do that. And I'm telling you that this is the problem with the industry that we let, and I'm going to say this, and you might have to mute me after this. No, we let vendors shit on us, right? And we shit it.
You said it. You said it, man. Go stand. Go stand.
Literally like an abused spouse. Like, you should not allow the vendors to treat us. They need us more than we need them. I don't care what anybody says.
You know what's really interesting about this? What's really interesting is you guys, and I'm lumping you guys together on this, even though Marvin hasn't said anything about this.
Oh, I haven't even got to my points yet.
You guys are stuck in this senior tech mentality. The thing is, what you're not considering is who typically calls in. It's the same thing. I get what you're saying, but
you're missing it because you're not as it. They have to triage.
That's
your level one has to triage. What I'm telling you is they can't triage. They don't know how to triage. If your nurse in a hospital can't triage, then you're freaking the guy from that racetrack with his head with the guts hanging outside of his head is sitting in the emergency room.
Okay.
And Chad, that has a sprained ankle is walking in the back and getting treated when the guy is sitting in the hospital and his freaking brains on the ground.
Okay.
Here's
the thing. Add data, and this is all specific to data, right? This whole conversation. Add data. If you say server down, like when you call server down, that guy's not allowed to talk to you. They immediately put you over to the red team. He's not allowed to talk to you.
Yeah, but do you understand that not backing up to me is equivalent to server down?
And that it's not to them. I understand where you're coming from with that. I do. And like I said,
if we have a server that hasn't backed up in 3 weeks, do you not think that's equivalent to server down? In fact, I think it's worse.
Why did it take 3 weeks to catch? That's the problem. That's so like, why?
I'm giving you an example. Who you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
No, it took Datto over 3 weeks to figure out what was wrong and why this wasn't backing up proper.
See, but the thing is, after 48 hours, I would have already had it escalated. Like you escalate it. Like the thing is, if they're not escalating or triaging properly, like tell me this: if you're sitting there and you're bleeding out in the ER. You're not just going to sit there and bleed out. You're going to get up and you're going to drip your brain guts all over the nurse's desk and be like, you son of a bitch, my brains are leaking out of my head.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Here's the problem, though. You can do that, and if the nurse just looks at you and says, you're going to have to wait, what are you going to do? I mean,
you know what you're missing, Chad? You know what you're missing? You know what happens in the ER? You're physically there. Right. So I open up the ticket with Jimmy Boufflé. All right. I'm making up a name. And then 8 hours later, that person is not there anymore. Now I'm dealing with somebody else. Yeah. And look, I'm just going to tell you this. When I talk to people who work at Datto and tell me, I understand your frustration. I have heard this from many partners. Chad, you ain't got no leg to stand on right now. Because what you're telling you is they know there's a problem. Now, I don't know how to solve it. It's not my job. I don't get paid. All I'm telling you is, in my opinion, we're talking about the company is now sitting on as a public entity, right? I'm just telling you that if they're going to now have to prove numbers and do different things, I'm telling you that they need to focus on this. So they don't lose people like me and Marvin or you. It can happen. Look, I know people who spend more money than you who have countless problems. I'm just telling you, right? Who literally complain about the same thing I'm saying. The thing is, they have to just make sure, and hopefully this is to help them inject cash and maybe do this. They got to just do something with it. That's all I'm saying.
The thing is, I agree with you. Like, just to be clear, I agree with you with the level one problem. The difference is that rather than complain about the issues, what I've done is I've taken a more proactive approach on telling my team they're not allowed to just sit there and email in a ticket and let it sit there. Oh, my guys love that. They love to open the chat and then just be like, oh, well.
Okay. Hang on. Because that's.
You know something. When I have an issue, I don't send tickets.
No.
I pick up the phone and call. So I'm not talking about your guys, right? I'm talking about me. Wait. Go ask the people you and I both know at Datto, and they will tell you I'm a freaking pain in the ass because I will rattle every cage, right? But my thing is, all I'm saying, thanks, bro. I see your message. My thing is, at the end of the day, it's simple. I don't believe that if a new person signs up to Datto today, buys a 40 terabyte device, I'm just giving an example. They shouldn't have to know all the people in Datto to get their support issue rectified. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently, all you have to know is the phrase "server down." So,
well, I'll try that next time and tell you how it works.
Yeah, we'll have to circle back on that. But here's the thing. Aside from level one, okay, we know that, you know, as much as they have done good to make their brand better, you know, by adding Autotask and doing that, you know, they still have missed out on some of the core features that made them great to begin with. And I've been a Datto champion, even for the little guy. You know, I've got enough devices that I can say, look, I'm not just some schmuck who's got a couple of Altos. You know, I've got some pretty big Cirrus out there and I've committed to them, but I'm in the middle of, I'll tell you, here's where I'm at. I've actually already done two evaluations with other companies because I am now looking at the possibility of moving away from Datto. Chad, hold your blasphemy comments, okay? Because
I can't help you with where you go, buddy, when you have these problems. You realize that, right?
I haven't called you for help ever, have I?
I figured you haven't had any problems. I've offered it. If you had a problem, you'd let me know.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I've had little issues and I've had to call in, but you know, in terms of pricing is, you know, I've got customers. There are too many other options out there where they can get unlimited backup and storage and stuff. And, you know, of course they roll their own hardware, you know, where I've had specifically one customer that I'm looking at. I've got the two Cirrus 12 terabytes. They're not huge, but for this customer, they are. They're paying $1,000 per Cirrus for their backup. And they know that they can get somebody else to do it for half price.
But it's not the same thing.
Here's what I'm looking at. I sold them on the fact that Datto is the Cadillac of backups, where I can do all these things. I can spin up their server in a VM if I have to, which I've done. I can, you know, whenever there's a hurricane, Datto in their van, you know, does an announcement that they're coming to Florida with backup devices if we need it. They love that. But if we can find, and I'm looking at them, other companies that will do 98% of what Datto does and go half price, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but I don't want to lose a customer over that.
You could probably get 90% of the functions, but for me, those last few are important, like service validation and being able to run scripts pre and post screenshotting and being able to validate, you know, actually put the automation in. Like, that stuff's huge.
It is, you know, but not for every customer though.
Well, this is Datto. I think where Marvin is, and I think we got to note this, right? I think this is important. So, because Mar, I heard that last bit that Chad was too busy talking, he didn't hear you, which was
he's having a Coke and a smile is what he's trying to do.
You can have more than one vendor and pick the vendor based on the client.
No, that's not standardization. That is black.
No, well, listen, see, you can listen to all the books.
That
you
B
want.
Word.
You know, I remember talking to an MSP. That had three different options for VoIP. And he said, we can have our own 3CX, we have this company and that company, depending on what the client's needs were. And I think that's very important to talk about because there's a level of sometimes we're like, this is what it is, that's it, there's no one else to talk about, when it doesn't hurt at the end of the day, when it doesn't hurt at the end of the day, to potentially have your options open for other vendors to plug them in if that's necessary or to help you win a deal. I mean, Chad, have you won every Datto deal? You tell me you haven't lost any deals to Veeam or any of these
Chad's,
other guys?
Chad's 100%, man.
I lost one. I'm still sore about this. I did lose a deal to another Datto partner, and I have run his name through the mud every time I get a chance. I'm not doing it on this show, but every time I talk to anybody at Datto, I'm like, so how's so-and-so doing? Is he still selling Veeam instead of? Yeah, no, I lost a deal. It was a 36 terabyte unit, and they basically told the customer that they do Datto below 10 terabyte, Veeam between 11 and 40, and then Commvault above that. The thing is, and I mean, like, I'm teasing you guys a little bit on this, but I'm serious at the same time. You guys are smart guys. Obviously, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You can learn stuff fast. You can pick up on stuff. Maybe you can support a couple different vendors in any segment. I don't know. I'm not making that judgment. I'm telling you right now, though, training a team to support that is a joke. So if you're going to provide support on something, no, you pick one thing. I don't care what it is. You guys know Fortinet screws me over constantly on the business side, and I constantly complain about them. But I've got guys certified on it, and they do have the best security, you know, set up right now. So I've been sucking up. Although I do call Stan constantly and ask him how much he's loving Meraki. I think that's what a weekly thing now we're doing. The weekly
Meraki. Yeah, I mean, you and another friend of mine who's a SonicWall shop, same thing.
But at the same time, but I'm still sitting over here with, you know, I don't know what we got, 150 Fortinet 48s out there or something. But my point is, it's a scale thing. And if you guys don't want to scale, do whatever you want. Like, it's cool. When it was just me and Ryan, it was the two of us, we could get away with that too.
But here's my thing, Chad. I may be looking to scale, but I may not want to scale with Datto.
No, and that's the thing too. But whatever you're going with, you need to pick a horse, and you need to, you know, or pick a cart rather, and hitch your horse up to it. And
yeah, Chad, yes and no at the same time, right? Dude, we are all constantly seeing people asking questions about other vendors all the time.
True,
right?
True, yeah.
Even you have shifted your RMM, right?
Still complaining.
But what I'm saying is, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with moving. I don't think there's anything wrong with constantly reevaluating and just making sure that we're all getting what we should get. Like, look, Fortinet is kind of raking over the coals, so you're looking at potentially other vendors. Like, the thing is that there is no end-all, be-all. And by the way, the same way that clients deal with us, no, you're good for right now, but you may not be good next week or a week from that,
a month from now, or a year from now. Be clear, it's not that you can never change. It's that, like, the RMM one's a good one. Every 3 years, someone's contract's up and they're talking about switching vendors. And people change the RMM vendors like they change toilet paper. Like, whatever's on sale that week, they buy it. The thing is, I'm at eight people. I get it. I'm bigger than you guys in employee count, but I'm still small. When I talk to the 25, 50, 75 employee guys, they're like, no, man, like, you don't change like that. Like, that is a big deal. Like, you can put a capital expense to how much you're going to have to spend on retraining all of your guys on.
True. But if something happens and something blows up and they have to change, they have to know what's available in the market come up. So that's where I'm at. Come on. You know me. I don't change. I mean.
On that note, I constantly keep my evaluations up on the backup side so that I can sell against it. How the heck am I going to tell someone they shouldn't buy Unitrends if I don't know how Unitrends works? That just doesn't make any sense to me. Right. So I hear you on that. But the problem is, grass is always greener until 6 months from now when they burn it. You know, that's been my experience. Wherever you go, it's going to suck at some point.
Well, every time you go looking for a new house, it's always going to look in the best condition. The grass is, you know, perfect. The walls are painted, you know. Yeah. So I get that. But at the same time, you know, there are real problems to be considered. I'm not saying that I'm going to jump ship, but I am looking.
Well, what I want to say is, I honestly believe, and I've mentioned this before, what we're talking about as it relates to Datto, in my opinion, is we just want something to be where it used to be. That support wasn't like that. It was better. So I'm not asking for something new out of this company. I'm asking the company to return back to where it was in how they treated us, I mean, look, I'm not going to say treatment is bad, but I mean from a support standpoint. I mean, believe me, anytime you need a salesperson, you can get them on the phone in half a second, right? There's never a problem on the sales side. But I'm just asking to have the same experiences with support that I've had in the past. That's it.
The problem is I honestly don't think that'll ever happen, because the thing was, they were a smaller company. Like, when I used to go down to Norwalk and I'd go walk around and talk to the engineers, you'd see the same engineers and the same support people. They're just big. Like, they have, like, you know, the partner count is huge too. Like, they're just a bigger company. And that's where that, like, low level one stuff comes.
Well, let's do a shift and let's not throw all of this on Datto, but have we not had that happen with other companies? SolarWinds is another company that has been going through growing pains. They went public and people are complaining about their support. And they are having people.
Do any of you guys have an example of somebody currently today, like Lenovo's poo-pooing on us? You know, Fortinet's gone up market. Like, I think, all the vendors are.
Well, what do you mean? Like, look.
Oh, I think vendors as a whole. I think all vendors, as they get bigger, start to do the little corporate thing where they're cutting corners here and there, and they're not worried about the fallout if it makes their numbers look better. And we are in a period right now, and here, and I'll say this, and some vendors are going to hate me for saying this, but we, you know, part of it is the Rona, where a lot of people have bailed, cut back on contracts, stopped service because of whatever reason, and they're in a full sales frenzy right now. But they have not beefed up their back end. And that's what's hurting us more than anything else. I don't need vendors calling me that I've already talked to and told them, look, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm here. I already use your product. Do you not know that? I don't need salespeople to keep calling me. I need a support person to take care of my issue when I need support. That's a very basic principle.
And what I want to say to that, and I want to just jump in real quick, like, I continually pride myself at not needing to call support, okay, regardless of vendor. So, you know, where hopefully I can handle everything. The only thing, look, if I want to talk about vendors, I got, you know, I do HP for servers and workstations, always business grade everything, right? 3-year warranty, next business day on site. There's few of them where I have 4-hour response times, right? I use SolarWinds. I can honestly tell you I've reached out to SolarWinds support probably 2 times in my life, okay? I have Datto, right? Datto's in the stack, right, where I use our regular BD, you know, backup continuity service. I use their SaaS product, right, Backupify. And then here's an example. Microsoft for 365, right, through PAX 8. I've never actually needed to call anybody. I use Proofpoint for email. So I'm just kind of giving you my stack, right? Yeah. The most interaction that I've had, I'll say, is between Datto and potentially HP. But that example I gave you earlier of an HP computer being resolved, it ended up that computer had a 3-year mail-in warranty. And HP says, because of what's going on, we're not doing mail-in, and we will send someone on site to fix this problem. That was great.
That's good.
That's not a vendor shitting on me. Excuse my language. I did it again. Right? You know, that's not a vendor, right? Crapping on me.
Here's the point. The point I was trying to make, though, is that if
I use Rocky, Cisco support is great. I
basically look at it this way. I'm not trying to set the rules of the game. I want to learn how the game works, and then I'm going to play the game to the best of my ability. So, like with Datto, you go through your salesperson, you got your partner success manager. You have a problem, you leverage those people. Be like, I'm not buying any more Datto if you don't help me. Oh, they'll help you. Then on the support side, you have your ticket in there. You don't like how it's being handled. After a period of time, there's a button in the portal you can actually click. But if you don't want to wait that long, you can email the support thing. If anyone doesn't have that email address, I'm happy to send it to you. Just ask me for it. You can email that and be like, this is my ticket.
Okay, but Chad, hang on just a second. All the stuff that you're saying, I'll speak for me. I know that stuff. However, I didn't have to do that much work to get that support. I think that's what Stan is saying.
I don't see it as a lot of work, because I see spending more time spinning wheels with a level one guy is not resolving
the
issue.
But here's the thing. I think before, like you, I think you did say it in the beginning, maybe because they were smaller, yeah, they didn't have as many level one people as right. the gateway to get through the support. So, I mean, 100%. That may be part of it as well, because I remember in the beginning when I did have issues, I would call. The first person I called stayed on the phone with me and worked with it and got it up and running, went in and did stuff and didn't point me to a KB article and all of that stuff. So I think that's, I think from both standpoints, both you and Stan are coming from very valid positions. I just want that happy medium.
Chad, I never call HP, and I'm sure you, I don't know how Lenovo is, right? Because I know that's your computer. I never call and get off the phone without a resolution to the problem.
I've had a part back ordered for 2 months on a next business day warranty machine. In fact, we're an ASP, so we can do our own warranty work. And the part's back ordered for us.
I can only talk about my own experience. But if a part is back ordered, that's a different thing. But there's a solution to the problem, and guess what? They just have to get it, whether it's a shipping issue, whether it's an overseas issue.
A crashing issue once, it took a month to resolve. There was a lot of back and forth. They were working on it, I guess. Here's the thing. My thing with Datto, and the reason why I have so much respect for what they're doing, is I see the things they're doing. Like, I don't know that, hopefully.
Stan, man, you got to settle down, man. Your mic's off your head.
Here's the new problem.
He's got me. This is like a presidential debate right
this
now.
This is worse than that.
Come on, man. Shut his mic off.
Here's the thing. Here's an example, okay, guys? This is an example of something Datto does. When they hire new people, they hire them for support. They hire them in batches. They hire like 10 or 15 of them at once. I don't know how many are going to work out, but that's how many go through their boot camp. They have a training boot camp they have to do. When they come out of the boot camp, the last step of the boot camp is they get an experienced partner on the phone, like virtually. They sit in a classroom. I've done this a bunch of times. They sit in a classroom, and they got us on the screen, and I'm supposed to tell them all the things they're going to do wrong so they can try to do them right. And they actually, like, I've never seen any other vendor do stuff like this. It's just, sure, everybody's not amazing. I get it. But they really do try. They really put the programs in place. Mm. I haven't seen another vendor try as hard.
All right, guys, I think we're going to need to do this. We're going to need to take a break because I gotta get you guys calmed down and get some control back to this show. So here's what we're going to do. For the live viewers, stay on. We're going to come back after the break here. And for the regular listeners on the audio podcast, this will end part one of the show. I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to Podnuts Pro. We may or may not post up part two of this debate. I'm sorry, this podcast, depending on what happens after the fact. But, of course, always go and support us. For anything related to the show, head over to podnuts.com. Look up Podnuts Pro. I'll have everything in the show notes. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Look for Podnuts Pro. Like the pages. You'll get notified when we go live or when we have any other videos here. And I see what you guys are putting in the chat there. That's going to do it for this episode. If you are live on the stream here, just stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And for everyone else, until next time, holla.